This is Digital Story Podcast number 799, July 13th, 2021. Today's theme is The Return of the Glovebox Camera. I'm Derek Story. I found myself taking more and more pictures with the iPhone. If for no other reason, it's my most readily available camera. And it occurred to me that since I do have a car, why not have one of my other cameras more accessible as well? I did this before smartphones, and I think it's time to revisit the concept. I hope you enjoy the show. So it's amazing to me how many wonderful things, or interesting things, or odd things I see through my car windows. I know in part it's because where I live here in Sonoma County, so we have scenery and blue skies and puffy clouds and all that good stuff most of the time. And part of it is because, well, life is endlessly interesting. My iPhone is always there by my side. And much of what I capture when I'm on the go is with it. But the funny thing is that lately I've had this feeling that no matter how good the iPhone is, I'm missing some creative opportunities to capture different kinds of pictures with a camera, one of my other cameras. And so I revisited this idea of keeping one of my other cameras in the car with me. Now, I know the first thing you're thinking, quote, Derek, is this really a good idea, end quote. My theory is, it's how you implement it. And some changes have come about that I think make this reasonable. So let me first go over the ground rules of how I'm doing this. I've been doing this for a week now. And then we'll dig a little deeper into this idea, and then you can reject it. Okay, all right. I'm having fun with it, though. I will tell you that part. Let me give you my glove box camera ground rules, okay? And guess what? I have five of them. Five of them. First one, out of sight, but accessible, okay? So here's the thing. I don't like to have anything visible in my car, even when I'm in my car, right? I like to keep it very tidy because you never know. You might just step out for a minute to go do something, or even step out for a minute to go grab a bottle of water, whatever it happens to be. And I know things just happen quickly. Bad things happen quickly and good things happen quickly. And my thinking is, let's not tempt people. Okay, let's just not tempt them. Let's keep things out of sight so that if someone did peer into my windows when I wasn't standing right there, or I guess these days, even if I am, right, then they're not going to see anything. They're not going to see any cameras. They're not going to see my iPhone. They're not going to see anything other than a steering wheel and all-weather mats. That's what I'm hoping, alrighty? So first rule for glove box camera rules is out of sight, but accessible. Second rule, bring it with me when exiting the car whenever possible. So in other words, you know, the camera is in there, and a lot of times I'll be using it actually in the car because, well, I love shooting through rolled down car windows. I just really do. The car gets you cool places. There's stuff either to the side of you, in front of you, and then I take pictures of it. And it's so much fun, actually. I really enjoy that. But when I'm not in the car, it's kind of nice to just bring that camera with me. And I figure that this covers two things. The first thing, well, the camera's with me, so it's not in the car, so I don't have to worry about it in the car. The second thing is, however, now I have a different camera with me when I'm just out and about. So if I'm getting out of the car to take a walk, if I'm getting out of the car to maybe go grab something in the store or whatever, I have this camera with me, and something happens, and then I have options. I can use my iPhone if it's appropriate for the shot, or I can use, in my case, most of the time, the X100V if I prefer that. So it just does two things at once. And you know what? It's just good for those of us who really are truly nuts about photography, it's just good for us to have our camera with us when we're out floating through the world doing our thing. Rule number three, never leave it in there on a hot day. Now, in North America here, we're in summer, and in certain parts of the West, it is blazing hot right now. Now, I've been lucky, and I'm knocking on wood at the moment, that in our little bubble of Sonoma County, we have been protected from the most extreme weather that's happening to the north of us and to the east of us. Thank goodness, and I'm so thankful. I say thank you every day to the weather gods for that. However, it's still warm, and sometimes it's even hot, and who knows, things could change again on us. When it's really hot out, you don't want to leave electronics in the car. You don't want to leave your phone in the car, and you certainly don't want to leave your camera in the car. So don't leave it in there on a hot day. Make sure that it comes with you. Keep it in a nimble case with a shoulder strap. So this kind of makes the other things work, right? Because you don't want to be carrying a camera around in your hand all the time. So I have this nifty LowPro bag. And if you go to the show notes, you'll actually see the LowPro bag and you'll see the area that it's in the car. You'll see the whole setup, right? You'll see everything. And this little LowPro bag, and they made some nice ones, where you can have this bag that's just barely bigger than the camera, so the camera fits in there. In my case, either my Olympus Micro Four Thirds or my Fujifilm X100V, they fit in this thing. And then it has a shoulder strap. You can just pull it out of the glove box or out of the console in the car, throw it around your shoulder, you know, swing it around your back, and you're off to the races. You know, keeping it in the bag is really what makes the whole thing work, because you don't want to be, you know, kind of loading things up and fiddling around with stuff. You know, for instance, if I have to go get a half gallon of milk at the store on the way home, then I want to park in the parking lot. I want to jump out of the car. I want to go get that milk. And then I want to be back in the car and I want to get home. All right. That's kind of the way I do it. I don't want to be like packing up everything so that, you know, it's like I'm going on a day hike when I just want to get a half gallon of milk. So I want to have this camera ready to go. I get out of the car, I grab my phone goes in my pocket, throw the camera over my neck, you know, so I sling it around my back, go in, get the milk, something interesting happens, I'm fully ready to shoot, come back out, throw the camera back in the glove box, put the phone back on the charging pad, head home. That's what I want. And so this nimble case with a shoulder strap really works. And there are all sorts of cases out there. And my advice is, for whatever camera or cameras that you're thinking about doing something like this, rather this or something related, even if it's a bag within a bag, like in a backpack, then have the camera fit in there nice and snug so that it doesn't bounce around and stuff, but you still want it protected, but it keeps that little pouch as small as possible, and then have a way to easily carry it. I like to throw it over my shoulder because I just think that's the easiest way to go. So that's number four. And then number five, just in general, keep the car locked all the time, every time. So with a new car that I have, the ID4 that we're using for our workshops, it locks automatically when I walk away. If the key's in my pocket and I walk away, it locks, and I like that. So boom, I don't have to think about that. But other cars, like for instance, you know, my older car, when I walked away, I had to actually press the button on the key fob to make sure that it locked. And I just think it's important to always keep the car locked. Even if you're in an area that you think is really safe, all that sort of stuff, just do it. Just keep it locked all the time. Make that a habit. And especially if you're a photographer, I think that's important, because what if you forget your camera this one time? What if you jump out of the car, you're distracted, you're talking to somebody else, maybe the passenger, you go in just to grab something, you're going into a gas station or something, and you just don't lock the car because of all the different things that are going on. If you have it as muscle memory so that you remember to lock the car every time you get out, I just think that in the end, that is going to serve you well. So those are my five glove box camera ground rules, and maybe those rules help win you over a little bit more to this idea. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But out of sight, but accessible. Bring with me when exiting the car whenever possible. Never leave it in there on a hot day. Keep it in a nimble case with a shoulder strap and keep the car locked at all times, especially when you're not in it, right? Now, I will say that modern cars make this easier and a bit more fun. So even though I'm calling this the return of the glove box camera, I'm actually keeping it in the center console. I don't have to keep it in the glove box, where it's even easier to get to. You know, I just slide this door, there it is. I open up the pouch, take pictures, right? That kind of thing. So a lot of times the interior of these cars now are designed where they have more places to store stuff, more cubby holes. You know, they're just more fun. I mean, in the center console that I have, my phone also goes in there. It even has a wireless charging pad in there. And there are two USB-C ports, which leads me to the next thing, that I just keep a short cord in there, just a short USB-C cord, and I can recharge my X100V in between shoots right there in the car. I don't have to do a battery charger, don't do any of that. I just plug the cord into the USB-C slot, plug the other end of it into the camera, and just let it charge while I'm driving to the next location or doing whatever I'm doing. Really nice, really convenient. So with these kinds of setups now that we have available to us in cars with USB ports and all that kind of stuff, you know, it's easier to maintain this camera. We don't have to worry about running out of battery juice and all that kind of stuff. And therefore, it just makes the whole thing a bit more productive. Now, after a week with this setup, I can tell you that I love it, and I'm kind of glad to have a camera back in the car again. I still shoot plenty with the iPhone, but now I have a second option that I truly enjoy. And it's nice to be capturing more images with a device other than a smartphone. Alrighty, let's talk a little bit about workshop stuff just for a second. So last week I mentioned that I swapped out the online workshops for September. So originally I had the On1 Effects workshop in there for September. There wasn't much traction for that at the moment. I'm going to revisit that a little bit up the road. But I put in the infrared photography workshop, and there's lots of traction for that. So that seems like a good call. So we now have an infrared photography workshop scheduled for September 22nd, 2021. It is the online version. So we'll have 4 weeks. I run sessions twice a day on workshop day so that you can attend one that works best for your time zone. And they're just a lot of fun. So if you want to see more about that, more about the infrared photography workshop for September 22nd, just go to the TDS workshops page. That's on thenimblephotographer.com. There's a link in the show notes where you can click on it. And you can see everything that's there, including the workshop that's before that, which is the Capture One Pro 21 workshop. Yes, that one is also filling up nicely. And there, we are going to get you going with Capture One Pro 21. You can download the free trial of the application right before the workshop. We'll do the workshop. You can do everything that you want to do with that app. And then at the end of the trial period, which is magically about the same period of time the workshop is over, you can decide if this is an application you want to roll with, or say, you know what, I'm going to stick with what I have, but now I know that that is the right choice for me because I have tried this other thing. So at any rate, so that is coming up in August. Capture One Pro 21 online workshop in August, and then infrared photography workshop in September. And then in December, we're going to do the writing workshop, Writing for Artists. Again, online workshop. This is going to be so much fun. So lots of good stuff to choose from. Go to the workshops page on thenimblephotographer.com. Just click on workshops or just click on the link in the show notes. Right, let's talk about the new Silver Effects 3, which is part of the new Nik suite that was just updated by DxO. So I finally had a chance to sit down with Silver Effects 3, an application that I have loved for years. I love Silver Effects. We're in the middle of our black and white workshop right now, and Silver Effects is one of the tools that I use a lot for my black and white photography. Now, Silver Effects, whether it's the old version or this absolutely new version, if it runs on your computer, it is a super useful app. Okay. So the first thing I want to say just up front about Silver Effects is that I don't think that you have to upgrade if you already have a copy of it that's working fine for you. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things that you get in the upgrade. If you use it all the time, you may want to, you know, do that upgrade because there are some nice refinements. But if it's working for you and you like it, you're in good shape. All right, so we'll just get that out of the way right away. Now, as part of a suite that has all sorts of other things in it, color effects and so forth, HDR program, all that. And the whole bundle is on sale right now till the end of July. The whole bundle, if you've never bought it before, is $99 for all the apps, and there's a bunch of them, including Silver Effects. Or you can upgrade, I believe, I want to say for $59 if you have a version already, a recent version of the app, you can upgrade for $59. And people ask me all the time, is it worth the price? You know, that just really depends. If you like these apps, if you like Silver Effects, if you like the other ones and you use them frequently, I would say yes. I would say it's worth it. If you just use it every now and then, if you just pop into Silver Effects every now and then, probably not as much if your older version is running. So it really depends. I've been debating this myself. I'm working off the trial right now. I think I'm going to go ahead and upgrade. And let me tell you a few reasons that factored into that decision. So first of all, one of the things that DxO did with this update is that they refined how control points work. And I use control points. I've always used control points, but I never liked them. Never liked using them. I liked the results. I just never liked using them. And this is where you can drop a point on an area of the photograph. It sort of reads what's going on in that area. You can control how big the circle of influence is for your correction. And then there are some adjustments that you can make that only affect that area. So it allows you to do localized editing without having to create a mask or do any brushing. And it's smart, and it's gotten smarter over the years. So even though it's just a circle, it's pretty good at only affecting the thing, the tones and the textures where you drop the point, okay? So it's pretty intelligent. It's not as accurate as a mask that you would hand draw. Yeah, that's true. But it's pretty darn good because of its intelligence. So they have made those easier to use. And that alone for me, now I'm using them more than I did before. So that alone for me was worth the upgrade because I just think they're just more sane now. They're less finicky. And I can add labels for the different control points that I create in a photo. I really like that. And I feel like I have more adjustments now than I did before. And I don't have to use that little fork that comes off the control point anymore. You just drop it. You make the circle the size that you want. And then you have a little panel over on the right-hand side with the adjustments for that selected area that you can do. It's much nicer. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm kind of leaning that way. The other thing that they did that I really like is they have included their ClearView technology in Silver Effects 3. And this is a really nice technology that I've used in other DxO products. It's a lot like haze reduction. It's very smart and it does a very nice job. That is now in Silver Effects as well. And then the UI has just been cleaned up and smoothed out and all that kind of stuff. It's much prettier to work with. They added a bunch of film simulations. They added some presets. So on the whole, they really did do a lot of work on this particular app. And remember, this is just one of the apps that's in the suite. Now, on the downside, the workflow is still a little hokey. And you can either work on JPEGs or you can work on TIFF files. If you work on TIFF files and you check a little box at the bottom of the interface, then you can return to that file. You can do your work, close that file, but then you can return to that file and all of your edits will be there and you can keep working. So that's really nice. It won't allow you to do that with JPEGs. And even with TIFFs, you have to remember to check that little box down there. No RAW files with this app. So either JPEGs or TIFFs. Now, you can round trip from Lightroom Classic or from Photoshop. I tried round tripping with Lightroom Creative Cloud. That's the version of Lightroom I use more. And I could not figure out a way to do it. I can't round trip from Photos. And then it acts like it can round trip from Capture One Pro 21. You know, it's giving you all the little dialogues and the buttons and everything. But then it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work at all. And in fact, Capture One Pro 21 really blows its mind because even if I'm not round tripping, even if I open a file in the standalone SilverFX app without using it as a plugin, and if Capture One Pro is open in the background, then suddenly it thinks it's working with Capture One Pro and then it doesn't work at all. And it took me a little while to figure that out. So if you're going to use SilverFX, at least until they do an update, make sure that Capture One Pro 21 is closed in the background or it'll funk everything out. So that whole thing's a little weird. So basically what you have to do, if you're not working in Lightroom Classic or Photoshop, you have to export a TIFF file out of your photo app, open it in SilverFX, do your thing, and then keep track of that TIFF file, maybe fold it back into your photo management. So that's a bit clunky. That's not ideal. I would love it if they made it a functional plugin for Capture One Pro 21 and for Photos for Mac OS editing extension. I think that would be really super, but that's not there yet. So that's just kind of a look at this thing. Like I said, you can buy the entire package right now for $99. I put a link as convenience in the show notes, but you can just search on SilverFX 3 or the Knit Collection and you'll get it. And like I said, I'm leaning toward doing it, but then again, I use that app and I use some of the other ones quite a bit, and I really like what they've done with the control points. So I hope those insights are helpful to you, and then you can decide what works best for you. Here's an interesting note. This is an article that I saw in Petapixel, and I have a link to the original article in the show notes. Photographers covering the Olympics faced with mounting challenges. And I'm just thinking, you know, I have worked the Olympics. I worked the Beijing Olympics. And there was already challenging things, working the Olympics as a photographer. And I can't even imagine working the Tokyo Olympics with everything that's going on with COVID there in Japan. So I'm just going to read you a little bit of this because I think it's fascinating. The 2020 Olympics are officially set to begin on July 21st, 2021. I'm assuming that that was done intentionally. And while the Olympic Committee is forging ahead with the event, photographers are being saddled with challenges that will make documenting it harder than ever before. As the Olympics inch closer, the pandemic looms large. So then they talk a little bit about photographer Jeff Cable, whom I know. He will be arriving on the ground on July 20th and has written a detailed blog about the evolving situation that is taking place even now. Additionally, he spoke to Petapixel and explained, at least for him, a team of one, the situation is thus far hectic and at times confusing. Quote, I leave for Tokyo in about a week and a half, and I do so with some very mixed emotions. Normally, I am super excited to get to the Olympic City and to start my preparation for the three-week adventure, he says. But this time around is really different. I am still excited to go, but this is also mixed with the apprehension of the Olympics with a major pandemic precautions. Cable says that the preparations for the event communication has been challenging as the situation has been changing rapidly and sometimes without warning. For example, before last week, some fans were expected to be in attendance, but last Thursday, that was suddenly announced there would be no fans at any of the Olympic events. Additionally, he says there have been a slew of different forms that he has needed to fill out, return, and keep log as Olympic organizers aren't tracking who has submitted what application. Neither Japan nor the Olympic Committee is requiring vaccinations to attend the events either. While he and other photographers were asked if they had been vaccinated, that information was not being disseminated, and it does not appear to affect how photographers will be treated in travel to the island nation. The Olympics appear to be operating as if no one is vaccinated, and the organizers are attempting to get everyone into a bubble to avoid any possible transmissions of the virus. Cable, who is fully vaccinated, has been instructed to get multiple COVID tests before boarding the plane. So this is all going on. You know, the Olympics are unlikely to be canceled, and instead more restrictions are likely to be imposed upon those making the journey. So my experience when I was in Beijing was that security was the thing that really slowed down our movement from getting from our hotel into Olympic Village. We had a media center there that we could work out. There was one for broadcasters and then one for still photographers, and I worked in the one for still photographers. And just that whole rigmarole of getting, you know, from your hotel outside Olympic Village into the media center inside Olympic Village was a lot of work. It was really a lot of work. So I can't even imagine then, you know, this overlay of what they're trying to do, because it appears that they're just assuming that everyone is not vaccinated and will go accordingly. And under those circumstances, we all know, we've all been dealing with the pandemic for a year and a half ourselves, that that is going to slow things down tremendously on top of, you know, the security and everything else. So I really feel for him. This is one, honestly, that I would not want to work for all sorts of reasons. I love Japan. I've loved my visits to Tokyo and other parts of Japan, but this just feels like a big hassle. And I'm going to tip my hat to the photographers that do make it through this process and actually share some great images with us. And every time I look at a great shot, I'm going to go, thank you guys and gals for all the work you did to get us those images. All right, I have a little virtual camera club news. First, I want to give a big thanks to our Inner Circle members. They are the folks that support this community month in and month out. They support the podcast, the workshop series. They support us with their ideas, their enthusiasm. You know, when you have a core group that really believes in what we're doing here and they donate their energy and their money, $5 a month to be an Inner Circle member, they donate that every month, month in and month out, then you really know that you have that support system, that foundation that you need to keep moving forward. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members. And plus, it's a lot of fun. I try to reward them with discounts and you know, they find out about things ahead of time. Yeah, you know what I mean. If you want to become an Inner Circle member, just go to our Patreon page. There's a Patreon tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. Click on that, take a look, and then hopefully you too will become a supporter of this community so that we can keep things rolling and rolling in the right direction. Also want to mention that I have been writing frequently on Medium.com. I love working with them. I love writing for them. I like the other photographers that are there. And then, of course, there's everything else. I do a lot of my reading about electric vehicles and technology on Medium.com as well. There's just something for everyone there. If you're interested in seeing what I'm up to there, just go to Medium.com, search for Derek Story, take a look at my articles. Hopefully, you'll read them, clap for them if you like them, and follow me. I really appreciate the support there. And finally, I want to mention our friends at Red River Paper, the longest running sponsor of The Digital Story. They have a tile on all the pages of The Digital Story. Click on that tile, it'll take you to our landing page. From there, you can nose around in so many different directions. One thing that I recommend, though, is take a look at the paper selection, take a look at some of the projects that they talk about, figure out something that will work for you so that you can get your images off the computer and onto some beautiful paper so that you can share it with other people, whether it's a fine art greeting card, a calendar, a print that goes on the wall, you know, whatever really sings to you. Get your images out there, share them with other people, and share them with yourself, because there's no better way to enjoy your work than a big, beautiful print that you can look at every time you walk into that room. Red River Paper also has a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper, and a big thanks to them for supporting this podcast. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm working on more cool stuff for next week. Make sure you come back and join me. Until then, stay safe, be creative, take lots of pictures. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.